Hi, folks. Welcome to the next installment of The Main Scoop. I'm Greg Lotko. I'm joined by my co-host here, Dan Newman. Nice to see you again.
Greg, it's good to be with you.
Good to be here in person.
We are back in person. It's been a little while. You know, we've been on the road quite a bit, but...
We've been doing the virtual.
It's been a busy year.
Yeah, it has. It has. It's been a productive year. A lot of things going on. A lot of things going on in the market. A lot of things going on with companies and what they're doing with IT. And we're going to kind of marry those two things here today. We're going to talk about trends in IT investment. And so what do you think? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, first of all, I don't want to tease this because people probably don't even read the YouTube titles, but we got a pretty interesting guest this show, but we're not going to tease that just yet.
Okay.
You know, look, the AI trend, right, has sort of taken all the oxygen out of the entire tech industry over the last year. You know, we're having debates about CapEx investments every single day, right? How much should these companies be spending? And then, of course, you have enterprise IT kind of saying, well, where do I do this? Am I going to do this on-prem? Am I going to do it in the cloud? Do I do it on edge? And then, of course, we've got, you know, new form factors and new kinds of devices that are supposed to help our workforce become more productive. And then after all that, we're trying to figure out how do we secure all this stuff? We've had some big events with security. We've had some big events related to, availability of the cloud. And by the way, you and I have talked about these things on shows here on The Main Scoop. So there's a lot going on. But if you're in IT and you're trying to figure out where do I spend money and where's the best place to put a dollar to get a return, I mean, in the end, it's all about productivity gains.
Well, it's about driving value for the business, right? So you're right. I mean, AI is sucking a lot of air and a lot of investment out of the room. But the reality is it's a hybrid world out there. So we know that companies are using a variety of different technologies. And it's not like you can just stop the everyday. It's not like you can stop protecting it or you don't have to invest to be able to handle the volumes of data and transactions that are going on. So these businesses have to make decisions, right? They see the patterns, they see the trends, they see what's going on in their business, and they have to decide where to spend the dollars they have and where to maybe expand and spend the next dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. So you and I, of course, we love to chat about this stuff, but we have a guest today.
We do. So with us, we have Patrick Moorhead from Moore Insights, which... does that mean he has more insights than us? Less?
Well, let him explain it because explains it. It's many insights, but only a single strategy. And this is a lot of fun for me. This is a lot of fun for me because, you know, for everybody out there that doesn't know, you know, you and I have The Main Scoop. Patrick and I have the 6-5, and that was actually the first podcast that I ever launched.
Tell us about yourself, what you do at Moore Insights, and if you want to decode for everybody the meaning behind 6-5, we can maybe hold that to the end.
No, I appreciate that. So first of all, I've had many years of FOMO watching The Main Scoop and not being a part of it. So here I am, baby. I am on The Main Scoop. Typically, Dan and I are doing the interviewing, but here I am in the hot seat. But this is the price that I have to pay to get on here. No, backstory is I'm founder, CEO, and chief analyst of Moore Insights and Strategy. We're an advisory firm. We put a lot out there without a paywall to educate enterprises on strategies they can take, technologies they should be using. I had a real job before that. I spent, almost 15 years as a corporate executive in big tech companies running strategies. I ran products, product marketing. So hopefully... this makes us better recommenders of things for enterprise IT. But anyways, guys, thank you for the invitation.
Delighted to have you on. So I think what I heard you say there is you kind of do the teaser outside the paywall to say, hey, look, we know what we're talking about, which people see, okay, they're talking about these trends, these observations, and you leave them wanting more. They want to have a deeper conversation, and I imagine that means... hey, you got to understand their business. You got to understand their strategy. You're probably comparing and contrasting it to others in the same industry as well as across industries. But then every engagement, I got to imagine, not only are you advising, but you're also getting out of it, right? You're learning, you're hearing what's driving their business decisions. So macro level, what do you see out there? What do you see as the biggest trends in investment? And I don't mean, let's just talk about the latest hot thing, macro, but is there a theme around the overall investment strategy?
So first of all, the good news is in the last 15 years, IT has become a better partner to the overall business. And, you know, you and I were both there 30 years ago where they were really autonomous, kind of on their own tracks, and only a forcing function would bring them together. But IT has really grown up and become a more of a business partner to the lines of business. And technology is part of every business now. You can't be a functioning business these days without having technology at your core. It may not be the business you're in, but it's delivering a lot of the end products and services. And yes, there are the buzzwords of generative AI. Mm-hmm. There's keeping the lights on. And then there's this in between, which is the, how can I get some low-hanging fruit to either, I mean, we're in business, you either have to drive top-line revenue or reduce costs. So things like automation that go into this, you're not getting into generative AI without having a data management platform mm-hmm. and a data management strategy, and you're not going to be able to do that without high degrees of security. And the other part, and I'm glad, Daniel, you brought it up, resiliency. Yeah. Sometimes we take this for granted, except when it breaks.
Yeah.
And the major cloud providers have had some recent outages that have made some pretty big differences. We saw what happened with airlines and hospitals with security outage. The downside of not paying special attention to the here, now, and present can be very risky.
Yeah, so a lot in there, right? I mean, every company on some level is an IT company because they have data, they have intelligence. It may not be their product, but they want to understand how their product is being used, the needs, where it's going. And then they have to think about where they're spending and what are they use.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting too, the sort of bifurcation, or even you call it a continuum between investing in the continued capabilities of the technologies you have. Of course, you're on the main scoop. It's all about blending together sort of the technologies that have anchored businesses for decades with sort of these new trend lines that are popping up, whether it's been hybrid and multi-cloud, whether it's been, you know.
Or even the trend lines of capabilities that cross platforms. It's not just tying them together in isolation. It can be the approach of how you interact or you do your development or do your delivery.
And you advise, Pat, at least one or two Fortune CIOs. Every week you're on the calls with these. I'm sure they're kind of coming to you and saying, hey, how much should I be investing in what we've built versus how much do I need to sort of think about you know, these new technologies and starting over, enabling to go faster. I mean, how do you answer those questions when they come your way?
Yeah, so first and foremost, biggest recommendation is get on the hybrid multi-cloud, okay? Mm-hmm. It was, you know, 15 years ago, we were on this, I don't know, call it the drunken sailor path.
Which rip and replace.
Just a only cloud, right? And we're in a more mature place right now, which is not cloud only or even cloud first. It's a balanced approach. Let's take cloud across all platforms, and cloud should be irrespective of location. It can be in the public cloud, hybrid cloud, sovereign cloud, on-prem, on the edge. Get into more of a cloud model as defined by things like containers, as things like a DevOps type of process, which I know isn't limited to a cloud model, but getting in those posture where you can grow and you're not locked in, and then tap into these hybrid multi-cloud fabrics, a data fabric that you can leverage across platforms, even a developer fabric that you can leverage where you're not making investment in one place, and if you move it someplace, you're not losing that investment. So, and by getting into a cloud posture, you're speeding up the process as well. So if you want to get into a new business or dramatically modify a current product or service, or you want to go from selling a product to selling a service, you can offer those to your customers just so much more quickly in doing that.
And everything you said there is platform agnostic. You talked about using good DevOps practices, you know, securing stuff, leveraging the data that you have. It's really the way you interact with the systems you have, and then, you know, deciding what the business imperative is,
right,
And then after you know what you're doing as a business imperative, then based on runtime or operational characteristics, you can decide where across the IT landscape something is going to live.
Yeah, I think you can also think about what are the things that the technology must do for the business, right? With recent risk and outages and things we've seen, right? Like, you have to be able to do basic functionality. People have to be able to buy a service. They have to be able to get a response. They have to be able to transact and put a credit. But then after that, you start to get into this business actualization, where you're starting to rationalize. And what I'm hearing from you guys is, like, we rationalize an investment in, you know, next generative AI platforms that allows you to do your booking for an airline ticket. But gosh, if the system isn't stable.
What's been displayed is that all these things are tied together, right? I mean, if you look at, the most recent thing, I know a lot of people are talking about it. That came out of the intent to provide a more secure environment, to provide a patch that was going to make something more secure. And with the focus on security, they forgot about using good DevOps practices. So it isn't, you don't do each of these things agnostically in a silo. You do them holistically and coordinated together and across platforms. We have to be ever vigilant in each of these motions with our systems.
Yeah, and the great news is that a lot of technology providers, yours being one, is making it easier for people to go across these platforms.
You've got to take advantage of it.
Oh, right? You have to.
It's not enough to have the capability out there if you don't exploit, if you don't deploy, if you don't use it.
One of the biggest mistakes that these companies are making, and I'm actually seeing this when it comes to AI, is they didn't have systems of transactions, and they didn't have their data in alignment to do anything interesting with AI. And they were also thinking very myopically about where am I going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to do this in the public cloud. When they have infrastructure that might be on-prem, could be in a mainframe, to be able to do things in areas that are a lot more efficient and secure, and oh, by the way, resilient to do that. And the other thing they're doing, and I mentioned this a little in the preamble, they're missing those middle type of investments, right? We sometimes like to think of, oh, there's the keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
And then there's the either the digital transformation fund, the CEO fund, the special CEO kitty fund that works on the cool stuff. What we're missing is this middle ground, which is, how do I get more optimized with the investments that we have? Things like DevOps, things like even infrastructure automation, software automation. How do we optimize there? Because the cost savings you can get doing that are extraordinary. How about moving the old code base to something that's more modern? I have 10x efficiency on a developer posture. Oh, and by the way, it's more secure. These are some of the investments that are being missed between keeping the lights on, and maybe we'll call it keeping the lights on better.
And I hate that term.
I do too.
It's accurate.
Yes.
It's accurate. There are people who think about, there's this set of things I'm doing to just keep the lights on, and I can't imagine in any business where somebody thinks, well, I'm just going to do the minimum I need to do to keep going. No, we're always trying to differentiate. So you want to make your day-to-day operations, you always want to get more efficient.
Right.
You always want to get more secure. You always want to get more accessible. We should strike that from our vocabulary. Anything that just stays the static quo is stagnant. Just think of the pond with all that yucky green stuff growing on it. Nobody wants that.
Well, there's no factory, even a factory that makes things that doesn't.
Let's just churn it out at the same number.
You know, they're not using 1920s technology. They update, they get more efficient, they get more precise, higher quality product coming out of the end.
Mine more information out of it. What's going on? Figuring out how to be faster, better, more precise.
Right.
Develop a better quality end result product to their customers.
It's like the continuous improvement, continuous development pipeline. The companies need to think that way, and technology is an enabler. You know, I just shared something you know, on social that talked about the deflationary nature of technology. I mean, as businesses are under the stress to produce greater earnings, to produce more revenue growth, to stay innovative and disruptive in their category, tech is the enabler. It always has been. It always will be. That will not change. But of course, boards have more oversight to CIOs and tech now because tech is such an enabler. It used to be like, oh, we need a laptop to get that email out. Yeah. Now it's like the whole company runs on that, whether it's the, you know, it's the ERP system, whether it's the sales administration system, HR.
If there's an issue for across industries,
absolutely.
Right? If the technology isn't available,
yeah,
it brings things
to its knees. Now, Pat said something earlier that I think everybody here in the Main Scoop community would really enjoy. And he did allude to, you know, sometimes thinking about how it could be done on the mainframe.
Sure.
And so, you know, we talked a lot in this show, Pat, about the tech investments.
Sure.
I kind of heard you allude a little bit about, you know, business continuity and the resiliency. Sure. But, like, where does the mainframe fit into this story in your mind as someone that's always kind of, we spend a lot of our time talking about the leading edge. Kind of, how are you thinking about that? How are you advising these CIOs and customers you're talking
about? Yeah, so first off, 35 years ago, I worked for a Unix server provider. I think they were called mini computers then. And back then, people were saying that the mainframe was going to die, okay? And then 15 years ago, when the cloud kicked off, all the public cloud folks were saying, we're going to replace the mainframe, okay? And I'm still waiting. By the way, I'm not—
There are workloads that can be moved off of the—
There are.
They should be.
And I'm not a cloud denier, yep. But to the credit of the mainframe, it has completely— it is modernized each generation. It used to be water cooling, proprietary frame. I can stick a rack in a non-water cooled inside of a chassis. Mm-hmm. That's the infrastructure. I can also run Linux if I want to. Heck, I can run containers if I want to, and have that level of resilience and security that the mainframe is known for. Heck, I can do AI inference now on the mainframe. And I guess technically I could do that on CPU, but I now have special circuitry that does it a lot more efficiently. So people, yeah, again, I know long preamble on that, but the way that people should look at the mainframe is when it has to be up and the most critical information in keeping your business running, you need to actually not look at what you can siphon off the mainframe, but what is some more things you can do on the mainframe, right? Today, right, we take data off the mainframe to do things like AI.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually do it on the mainframe today. So yep.
It's actually way more efficient. I mean, think about the old warehousing days, right?
Yes.
People who were proliferating copies, and then they were spending a lot of cycles on keeping these copies up to date. Yeah. Much more effective to bang that transaction directly at the mainframe.
Right, and you know, pretty much everything we did, they're doing with certain AI is we ELT it out and do it. And every time you move data, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. You're storing it in two different places. You're having to manage that data.
Opening up more security exposures.
100% there. And I just think that, I think a mature and high functioning IT group can look at the pluses and the minuses of all the platforms and get into a posture, again, back to kind of where we started, independent of location, what you want to do, what kind of level of security, how much you want to pay for it, and then make your decision on where you're going to deploy this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that if you look at just the last 5 years, I mean, I know mainframe has been touting for years the percentage of transactional data that gets processed on the mainframe. It's actually grown as a percentage of all the data. Obviously, there's a lot growth in data and growth in transactions, but mainframe as a percentage of carrying that workload has grown. It, you know, 5-10 years ago, we were talking 69-70%. Now it's 74% of the transactional data is being processed on mainframes.
85-75% of all enterprise data is still on-prem, and a lot of that is still inside of the mainframe. There's a lot of consumer growth.
Actually, outside, I feel like that's the big change. So it's not just inside, it's on the mainframe.
Yes.
And it is open and it is accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of innovation. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of the Main Scoop.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm sort of trying to recite what Pat shared today, I mean, effectively, CIOs are really moving between these sort of you know, not just keeping the lights on, but really moving the needle forward in their business. And then, of course, dealing with these fast-paced, disruptive innovations and how they implement. But at the same time, secure, private, capable, connected, hybrid, all those things, a big part of the CIO's agenda and a big part of what the mainframe's purpose is in the market. I mean, whether you 70 or 74% of the transaction data, the world still runs on mainframe, and that's pretty darn cool.
It's about making the most of the technology and the investments you have, and then picking the right investments that'll be coordinated with your overall IT strategy to give you a competitive differentiator in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
It's been fabulous having you on, Patrick. Love having you here.
Wow. I no more FOMO. I've been on the main scoop.
And it flew, right?
And totally.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
This is fun. I usually do the I guess I do 50-50 interviewing, be the interviewee.
I see you on CNBC and Yahoo Finance and every other platform on the planet.
Got to keep up with you,
buddy. You're good in the hot seat, but you're also a good question asker.
I've just been on the interweb, so.
You, my friend, are building and running a heck of a great business. I love being side by side with you.
Well, thank you.
And everyone out there, we love having you as part of our community here on the Main Scoop. This has been a great episode. It was great to bring my co-host partner in crime from my other show to meet my other show co-host here. Greg, don't be jealous. It was fun. Hit that subscribe button. Be part of the Main Scoop community. We appreciate you very much. We'll see you again soon, but bye-bye.
See you next time.